Welcome to Down to Dunk. Your host, Andrew Schlecht, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Mondays, is my good friend, Michele Barra. Michele, what's up?
Well, it was an interesting game last night. Not quite the result that we wanted, but interesting nevertheless, I would say.
Yeah, it's certainly more in line with what I thought would happen at the beginning of the series. Like, I just didn't think Dallas had enough, and I didn't think Luka could do enough. And Luka, I think he generated 70 plus points yesterday. And it still wasn't enough. And that really feels like that's like the reality that Dallas is facing. And then on the other side, like the Clippers finally got it together. Kawhi was great. And then they got enough from everybody else. Paul still kind of had his game seven Paul game. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is they have a team designed where you don't have to have those two be at their peak because you have a guy like Marcus Morris, who was really good for them. And unfortunately, Reggie Jackson was really good for them yesterday. It was a miserable watch from my standpoint, but not a surprising one to me. Like really, really not. Especially like Porzingis, his stat line looked fine. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I actually predicted Clippers in five, which obviously I should never trust the Clippers that much. But I honestly, before the series, I didn't see a path to the Mavericks winning. Like, I just didn't really see it.
Well, there was one shooting 50% from three. That is a path.
That helps.
Yeah, but it's not something that you can really count on. And I really don't understand what is the plan defensively. Because it's probably bad to not having a rim protector on the court. That doesn't help. But if what you get instead is basically having your corners always open, then it's an easy adjust. And to be honest, I mean, the Clippers really played that well. I mean, Ty Lue exposed that kind of defense in a very good way. And I don't know. I mean, there are so many things that I don't understand about Game 7. Like, why do you play Trey Burke? I mean, why do you have all these adjustments?
Why are you putting Brunson on the bench? Like, why are you leaving him there?
I mean, they played 10 minutes. Yeah, he was not great in his first few minutes, but I mean, and he was
like one of their best five players all season.
Yeah. It's something that I don't quite understand. But if you want to take the positive side, like last year, the Clippers went on winning 4-2. Now it's 4-2-3. So it's actually worse than last season. There's no indication that they would have a better. No, I'm kidding. The second round.
I mean, that's true, though, to a degree.
If you take into account the fact that Dallas basically had two games where they couldn't miss, then it's probably a better series overall for the Clippers, but not that much. I mean, they still miss Ibaka. They have all the excuses, but I mean, they are not as dominant as a sure thing championship should be at this point. Maybe this series will transform them somehow. I don't know. But the second round will be tough, like extremely tough for them, because I don't think they will have an advantage because they, like Utah, has players that can guard them. And so I'm really, really curious about what happens there.
Well, they have a real big. Like Boban is a nice like 10 to 15 minute big off the bench.
But on a team that is not great.
The minute that Boban becomes very important to what you're doing, you have to question what you're doing, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And Rudy Gobert is not that. And the reason they put Boban in there was because they were getting destroyed at the rim. Once the Clippers, after game two, the Clippers started realizing, oh, we can get there whenever we want. They're like, the only adjustment the Mavs could make was, okay, well, we'll just be much bigger than them. and we'll try that. And it just, it didn't, it only worked when Luka was a flamethrower. And then when he wasn't, it stopped. And so now with Gobert, and you're playing against a team that really could shoot lights out for seven games.
Yeah.
And they have another, and he's not as obviously not anywhere close to as dynamic as Luka is, but Mitchell's really good. He's different. He's got that burst of speed. He's got the athleticism. He's a different player to deal with. And then the only thing that makes me question whether the Jazz can really pull it off is the Mike Conley injury.
Mm-hmm.
Like what does he look like? If he can play, I probably pick the Jazz. If he can't, I think it's more of a toss-up.
Yeah, it will be a test, nevertheless. If even if Conley is not 100% or he doesn't play the full series, I think Utah presents a different challenge to the Clippers compared to Dallas. And that's it. So it's it will be extremely interesting. And again, it's probably they're probably in a better space right now than after the first two games. But I mean, the road ahead is quite long, and they may very well be the best team coming out of the West because they have the talent to do it. I mean, they have it.
They do,
especially
now. Especially now that like they wanted to avoid the Lakers, they're going to avoid them altogether.
Yes.
And now, like, you have this injured Chris Paul team on the other side. Like, this is their chance. Yes. If the Clippers want a chance, here's your chance, Clippers. Go get it now.
Yeah.
And you have we have the opportunity to have, like, the super villain NBA Finals, which is Clippers-Nets, right?
Yeah. With the Nets not 100% as well. I mean, there is probably the only completely healthy team is the Bucks, I would say.
Yeah, and even they don't have DiVincenzo.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, yes, everyone is not really, really 100%, but I mean, at least their best players are, the best four players of Milwaukee are 100% healthy as of today.
Yeah.
You cannot say the same about any other team currently in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, except for the Clippers, where, well, Ibaka, you can. So it's curious.
Ibaka hasn't been one of the best four players this year anyways.
No, not with Terrence Mann playing like that.
Terrence Mann's good.
Is he the third best player? It's not good that he had a great game.
No, he is good. Stop it. I think he's good.
He's borderline. He's a dude. I wouldn't say he's a guy.
Wow. Whoa.
I love him.
That's a hot take. I don't know. I
love him, but is he starting on a different team than the Clippers? Do they want him to be their starter?
I don't know. Start for the Mavs?
No, I mean, he's not a starting level player as of today, in my opinion. Not continuously. He had a very, very good game. But him chucking trees and nailing jumpers off the dribble is not something that you can count on. You can count on all the other things.
He does so much.
Yes.
He does a lot.
Yes.
I like him. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, me too.
I hate that the Clippers have him. It's just one. Anyways, so that's big news. We have the full second round set, and now the next thing that's kind of on the NBA radar right now is the Blazers, and Neil O'Shea is in the middle, or I guess his press conference is over now, but he has just said some weird stuff. So one of his quotes, probably the one that's taken off the most, I'm reading from Sean Hyken's Twitter. He said that the first round loss was not a product of the roster. So you can take that a few different ways. One, I don't necessarily disagree in the fact that Denver was not at full strength,
mm-hmm.
and the Blazers were as close to full strength as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like the only argument that I could be like, oh, okay, like I can see that. But the truth is, like they don't have a good enough defensive roster. He also talked about how the media talks too much about there being three small guards, like, and that Dame is a big guard and all this stuff. It's just odd, where I think it's obvious to anyone who's watched them that there needs to be some roster churning that happens with the Blazers. I don't know exactly what the changes would be. I don't know what CJ McCollum trade is out there that makes sense for them, but there needs to be something. And then you have the whole Damian Lillard aspect of it, where Dame said he wanted Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd said that he withdrew his name from consideration. Neil O'Shea came out and said, hey, we haven't even talked about anybody yet, and it's a shame that they even got out there. There's just a lot going on with the Blazers, and I don't know what to think about it. I don't know what they're going to do. I think you have Neil O'Shea, who's probably obviously an accomplished GM, but also somewhat stubborn. And that should be very interesting. The coaching search is interesting. The Dame aspect is interesting, because if Dame somehow gets on the market, like, that's really something. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but that sounds a year down the line, at least. Perhaps. I think that if you really want to start out from scratch, then yeah, do it. It's probably, there are teams with a lot to offer, like really a lot to offer. You can get borderline, like, you can get better offers than anyone, even more than Harden, probably. I would say that if you get more than what they got from Harden, then it's a... I'm not sure how. If you want, like, a young star, then there's not many teams that can offer that plus, like, all the picks. But there are teams that can do that. The Sixers can do that. But I would say that this is a tad early. Here we're talking about...
It feels
about
that defense. Way. It feels early.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen quickly, though.
I know. But there are ways in which you improve the roster without giving away Dame. I'm convinced of that. I do think that there is a scenario where CJ is moved because it's easy, and you don't sign Nurk because it will take away a lot of your cap space. You may try to do a sign and trade or something like that. Nurk has value. I don't know how much, but he's good enough, and someone will take him for the right amount of money. I do think that duo, though, CJ and Nurk, you can get players that may not be like superstar in the market, but they make your roster better around them.
Sure.
And
Dallas is in the same position with CJ as they are with Porzingis. And that's the problem, is that there's no... I think if Bradley Beal was available... And he's not, by the way. Like, I know we're going to talk about it. I know people are going to talk about it all summer, but the Wizards aren't going to trade Bradley Beal this summer. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. So what do you do? Like, what's the move? Like, what's the move with either team? Like, what would you do if you're the Mavs? Like, the Blazers, yes, they need to upgrade their roster. I wouldn't trade Dame. I wouldn't do it this summer. I would just try to do some things to appease him. You definitely have to make some roster moves. You definitely have to hire a coach that he likes. Now, if you can do that, then perhaps you can, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit further, and hopefully you win a series or win two series next year, which is still possible. I mean, it's funny. Like, we talk about the Blazers and we talk about the Celtics as teams that are just sunk, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're really not. They have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is hurt. They're not as... the situation isn't as dire as it feels. And the same with Portland. Like, they have Damian Lillard. Like, the hardest thing to do, they've already done it. Yes. Yeah, they have to go do, like, the second and third tier hardest things, for an NBA team to do. The hardest thing is to find the guy. Well, they have one of the best guys in the league, so they don't have to... Like, that box is checked. They just have to go do the next level of difficult things. And if they can somehow wiggle their way into a better team, like, you have to at least try. before you just let him go.
Yeah, and again, there aren't many options. But like names that are out there, I mean, Ingram is going to be probably moved, or at least they will listen to trades. Then you can probably start.
What's the value of Brandon Ingram?
I have absolutely no idea. To me, the value that New Orleans will place on him is higher than what the market is going to pay for him.
Yeah. So if you're OKC, let's pretend that Oklahoma City's like, okay.
No, I wouldn't even go close.
Let's just pretend. Just go with me. Just pretend for 45 seconds.
Two first plus something else.
Yeah. And is that enough for BI?
Depends on the something else and probably how unprotected are those two first. But probably,
what player would you trade? Like, what's the player going back?
Whatever is not Shea and they want.
Yes, yeah, it just becomes really difficult. I think it's hard to trade Ingram because he's.
Oh, plus the filler, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah, with the Thunder, you don't have to have filler. Like, they can take BI just exactly. onto your team. Yeah. Like, no worries. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything outside of Shea enough? Like, if you're like, yeah, we'll give you Dort, we'll give you.
Probably not, but I wouldn't give more. Like, what BI plus Zion plus good players, they end up being a crappy team.
They're a really crappy team this year.
And
Ingram is such a strange player in this league, isn't he?
He is. He's not a great defender. He's not. I don't know. He's weird. Maybe he's because of coaching. I don't know. Give Carlisle that guy. Maybe with Luka they become a nice duo. Yeah. But if you think about the player that you want to put around Luka, this is not the guy. You want a guy like Clay, probably something like that. Someone like that, where like a better version of Hardaway, a guy that can.
Jay mentioned it. Duncan Robinson. Jay mentioned in our chat this morning.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. But you want also defenders because clearly Dallas has a huge problem defensively. And it's not just the big man. It's more about how you go at defense. I mean, to me, if you have Porzingis, you have to drop. There is no other way. He's not good enough. And they tried to play zone defense and they were always late. So it's you need to have better guards. I mean, Richardson was taken just because they thought, well, we will fix our defense because of that. And it's not like that. He can barely stay on the court. Like, Hardaway is not a great defender. And it's tricky. Like, Luka is not a great defender. So it's then when you lose every one-on-one situation, then, yeah, you can blame Porzingis, but maybe you can blame all the other players that are not good enough to stay in front of their men. And so... Yeah. It's tricky. I don't think that the CJ Porzingis swap worked. I mean, it works probably financially, and yeah, if you want to try to mix it up, then yes. But I would say that to fix both these teams, you have to make a crazy offer to Boston and somehow hope that Brad Stevens knows something and they want to split the. Brown Tatum duo, because Brown will probably help both teams equally.
Yeah,
they need a guy like that. They need a great defender that is a 40% shooter and has the size to guard a lot of. I would also, if Toronto is somehow not in a win now mode, I will try to see if Anunoby is available for both those teams. You need guys like that. You need tall guys that can shoot the basketball. Even Pascal Siakam to a degree. I mean, he's not a shooter, but he's a guy that will fit okay. Well, I would say he would fit very well in both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Would you,
if you're Toronto, would you trade Siakam for Brandon Ingram?
No. If I was to take a decision in Toronto, then either I rebuild and then I don't want anything back. I just want to say, well, we won a title. this team is going absolutely nowhere. I have two
guys. You wouldn't just want Ingram? And
No. Hmm. Why? Okay. That puts you in the middle. Ingram, to me, is not the number one guy.
No.
Is probably not even a great number two as of today. Maybe he is in the right situation, but, I mean, why? I mean, Pascal is not the number one either, but maybe I can get something for him. He would make a ton of sense in Minnesota as well. I mean, teams like that. Well, like, let's just try to see if there is value out there. And if it is, then, yeah, I mean...
I'm just trying to think of Ingram swaps that make sense. It sounds like you just want to punt Ingram to the moon.
No, you can send him to Miami. Miami is a team where he might be okay because you have
a trade. What's the trade though?
Oh, you can probably sign and trade Duncan Robinson and then give assets. Not sure how much, but at least two first.
That just feels gross.
Yes, but every trade with Ingram will feel that way. I mean, for Miami, is not a bad proposition because you get someone that is probably a little bit was undervalued for the circumstances this season. You don't want to overpay Duncan Robinson. He fits okay. He's a Spolstra always. I mean, you remember Ellington? Ellington seemed the guy. Like he was shooting lights out, then he goes to Knicks, and yeah, he's good, but not that much. I mean, this is the guy. Take a guy that can shoot the basketball, and Spolsa will just make him shine.
Yeah, so that's true.
Something like that, and I don't know if that is enough for New Orleans. That sounds bad, but you can at least try to pretend that like two, three first and a signing trade. If you're in Miami. It's not a given that you will do much better in the next two and a half years in terms of free agency. If Kawhi is not coming, then of course you wait for Kawhi, but if that doesn't materialize this season, then over the summer, you just have to make a decision. If you re-up with the Clippers, then what is your big free agent to wait? Who is him? I don't know. I have no idea. Then let's try to make the most of the Butler era, which will probably have at least 2 years, or I would say at most, I don't know. He fits very well. I mean, he's a wing, he has size, you have Adebayo, you have him, you have Harrow, you have Butler. That is a pretty good unit if you can re-up with Dragic. That is a better roster than the one that they had this year.
Yeah, they'll re-up with Dragic, I think.
Yeah.
I think that'll happen.
That is another guy that makes sense for the Mavs.
Oh, yeah. He's such a Mav, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he and Luka shared a lot, so.
Yeah, what did the Mavs do with Porzingis?
That is a guy that if I was Presti, I would be available. I'm not sure I want to give anything up, but if they want Horford and... a little sweetener, then yeah, let's talk about that.
So what kind of sweetener are we talking about here?
I don't know, not a first, not a full first.
They probably want players, right?
Yes.
So you mean
Porzingis, well, you have to give them Horford.
Yeah, Horford, for sure. Like that's like an upgrade today. Is an upgrade the year after? Probably not. He's 10 years older.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And then like what else? Because the thing about this Mavs team is that they're not far away. Mm-hmm. Right? If they had a couple more pieces that could do something, then you're there. Like I think Ty Jerome would be like the perfect Mav. He's got to opt into his contract, right?
Well, you can trade him. But again, I'm not, I don't know if they want Horford to be here. I'm not sure if they value what is the situation if you don't trade him? If you don't trade Horford, you just keep him and just get Porzingis in your cap space. Do they have space?
Say it again.
But they just have don't space trade. Just don't trade Horford.
Not enough space. Right.
Yeah, that's
11 million. Like, that's not enough to play with.
No.
No, and then you got to play Hardaway. There's nothing there. That's the problem, is that if you're the Mavericks, you have to upgrade. And then if you're the Mavericks, like, okay, like the Horford thing we like, but we need more, like we need to upgrade. Like Gabriel Deck's not doing anything for us. Darius Baisley's probably not doing anything for us.
No.
Kenrich is helpful, but I don't know how the Mavs view him. Right.
Yeah.
So if you did Kenrich and Horford for Porzingis, is that enough? And maybe you could give like one of your decent seconds in this.
No, it's not enough.
That's probably not enough. And then like the only like real upgrade, like you're not trading Dort. You're not doing that.
I don't know if this is the trade though. I wonder if you can take another team into the mix, like Sacramento, yeah. Or a team that has a wing, or Toronto, and
certainly Sacramento would probably like to get involved somehow.
Yeah, but they don't. You don't want to send back Barnes. It doesn't work.
Probably not. Probably not.
No, to me, the deal is let's try to see if there is a team. Well, you take the idea with the Raptors. Mm-hmm. Say that the Raptors are going, like they want to just send all the talent that they have away,
mm-hmm.
and you can trade Porzingis to the Thunder because the Raptors may not want him, and you get Pascal. And you, the Mavs get Pascal or Anunoby or whatever, and Toronto gets space.
Is Pascal the guy you want next to Luka, though?
In terms of shooting, probably not. In terms of playing in transition and give energy, and maybe yes.
Yeah, he's better than Porzingis, but I don't know.
Do you like VanVleet?
Yeah, I do. He's a Mav. Like he's a total Mav. Waterbug, point guard.
Yeah, but can you trade both VanVleet and Anunoby to the Mavs? I don't know if they have enough. I mean,
I don't know that you want to trade Anunoby, even if you're rebuilding. Anunoby's not going to pull you to the middle by himself.
No. Fred will probably do it though.
VanVleet can.
VanVleet is an option, but I'm not sure how much he moves the needle. He will fight hard.
He will. I mean that helps them quite a bit. I mean he's easily the second best Maverick then.
Yeah.
Cause he's good. Like he's really good. And Luke Rowe,
are you trying to
make him better?
Are you trying to keep Porzingis anyway? And try
Can
to
you?
I don't know how much he makes, 25?
Yeah, I just don't know that you can pull that off.
Yeah, probably you can with Kleba and Powell and Richardson.
I mean, yeah, you can make the money work there, but like, what's the incentive for Toronto?
Picks.
Yeah.
Players that don't mean anything and picks. Player that you can reroute to other destinations. Like Richardson can go anywhere. And Kleba and or Powell. I mean, you can get Powell to OKC for nothing, and it would say, "Okay, yes."
The problem with that is like you're taking three rotation players and turning them into one.
Yeah, a much better one though.
He's better, but I just don't know how much better you are then, because then you have to fill those holes, and then who are you filling it with?
They were playing Trey Burke.
They didn't, but minutes. That's. They didn't have to. They didn't have to. I don't believe they had to.
I don't know. They were playing Marjanovic.
I think that was an error. Yeah, they were playing Marjanovic, sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard. I mean, Horford will make them better, but I'm not sure that swapping Horford for... I mean, I probably having both Horford and Porzingis is something that makes them better. But again, it's a bad use of cap space, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the same, like Maxey, Powell, Richardson to get you there.
Yeah, and then it doesn't make any sense.
And then Thunder would have that mess to trade off. Because, I mean, all those guys are old.
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. There is not much. but Toronto to me is a good. I really think that Toronto will try to see what's out there for their.
Yeah,
the path for them to be bad. It's very easy. It's very very easy.
Sure,
they have to move three guys that have market. And or at least two of them. Like they, if they move Pascal and Van Vliet, and they don't resign Lowry, which that is a player that Portland can try to get if they somehow move McCollum. That is someone that will play and will probably help Dame quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you reunite him with Powell, right. And I mean, those are players that I would really try to see if they are available. And maybe they don't want that. Maybe they want to be buyers and give it another run. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they use their pick, like the 7th pick, and use it to go get somebody. It's possible.
Maybe, yeah.
All right, let's go to the stream real quick. See who has joined us today. Hoops Talk 69 is here. Kyle Clark, Jordan Riddles. Electric Caveman is here. Let's see. Chad Scott in Yukon, Oklahoma. Falcon, Denmark. We have people blaming me for the Mavs. the Mavs loss. Thank you. I have so much power. Kirk T in Lexington. We have Bryce Little in Ponca City. We have Jamie Taylor in London. Welcome. We have Christos in Greece. We have Mr. Vengeance in Guernsey. We have, let's see, Michael Clampett in Edmond. Okay, represent. And yeah, thanks so much for joining everybody. We will take a quick break. And second half of this, we're gonna more NBA chit chat. So we'll be right back. And we're back from that quick break. Michele, the draft lottery is 15 days away. It's a huge day in Thunder history. And we've started going through some prospects ourselves as a part of the Thunder After Dark NBA Draft Series that we're doing for the OKC Dream Team. So if you would want to know our individual analysis on these players, we're going to release a podcast about each prospect over the course of the next several weeks leading up to the draft. So you can go check those out. That's at patreon.com/OKC Dream Team. But as you just holistically, as we dig into these prospects, like how important would you say it is that they land in the top 4 or 5?
Oh, it's the most important. There is a comment in the chat that I really liked. I'm not sure I agree, but it gives context. XG Graphics says, I disagree. I think finding the guy is easier than building correctly. I don't want to say it's easier because there are so many of those players. You have probably 3 or 4 in the league right now where you can say, yeah, that guy is the guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5. But building around a star and making the right moves is exceptionally difficult. And I think that sometimes you need also luck. You need many things, but having that guy is important. And OKC, yeah. I don't think they have that guy right now. Shea, don't get me wrong. Shea is a very, very good player. He may be an alpha guy, but he's not LeBron. He's not Luka. I mean, we all seen what Luka can do on the floor. Shea's not that as of today. He's not Kawhi. Kawhi just took the Clippers and willed them to the second round. And so getting a top five pick is getting a chance, a higher chance of a guy like that. And and OKC is already, I'm not saying they have the roster, but they have a flexible roster that already makes sense. They made sense at the beginning of last season where they had Horford, where they had Horford and Hill together with Shea. That roster was functionally playing basketball at a good level. I mean, take a player that is a very, very, very good player. You already have the concept of the team. And so nailing that pick this year, and if they have to, that's extreme luck. But getting one and getting a player like Suggs, like Mobley, Cade, whoever they will get, it's not everything, but it's what they need right now more than any other thing, because they have the space to then try to either develop, which is what you have to do in OKC, or try to get players. Because even in the last few years, when they got free agents, they got Burks, Muscala, Noel. So they have they have to develop them. There's no other way.
Eighth best player at best. If things are spectacular, you get your eighth best guy.
Via free agency, yes. This is how tight the choices are for OKC. And so nailing that pick is extremely important.
It's a big deal. Because if you nail this pick, and then the Mavs are just like, okay, we're desperate to just get off Porzingis' money, and we'll take first-round picks back, which we feel like we can use at, you know, we can use that to help us facilitate trades later. Like, that's what we want. And we want the space, because we're a larger market. We have Luka already. We feel like we can get player X to come in 2022. So all we need is, we just need the cap relief, and we need assets, like additional assets, either young players or picks back, just so that we can use those to go get somebody else. If you're the Thunder and you nail this pick and you get halfway through the season, you're like, oh, okay, we did it. We've accomplished our goal. And maybe you hit, and maybe like Poku takes a jump and so happens. And you're like, okay, like, you have your chance to kind of like redo like the Tyson Chandler trade, right? And go get, like, Porzingis is still young. He's still a guy that I think can develop. I think he's a guy that we've seen it time and time again. And just with this particular Thunder team, is that the organization has a way of making players comfortable. They have a way of bringing the best out of players. And the list is long, right? The list is long of guys that have come here and that have changed the course of their careers. You know, you talk about younger guys. I mean, Dion Waiters was not somebody that was looking to get paid until after he came to Oklahoma City. Enes Kanter got a big fat contract because he played really well in Oklahoma City. Dennis Schroeder was a guy that got traded for a first round pick because of what he accomplished in Oklahoma City. I mean, and then you get to like the bigger names like Chris Paul. They had to sweeten the pot a lot to get there to trade for Russell Westbrook. And now that trade seems ludicrous. It seems crazy. But that happened here in Oklahoma City. And, you know, if you read the story that Sam Amick wrote about the trade that was made, and then like the situation afterwards where Chris Paul was like, the Thunder presented him with something. Chris Paul was like, no, like, you don't understand. Like, I'm going to play. Like, they had this plan to, you know, taper off his minutes and do all these things. He's like you don't understand. And the Thunder weren't like so rigid where they were like, no way, you're going to do what we say, and that's what's going to happen. Like, they're adaptable. And they moved around, they moved some things around, they made it work for him. And I don't know the situation with Porzingis. I can't sit here and say, I know exactly what's happening. I know the Thunder could fix it. I don't know that they could. I don't know that he isn't just been so hurt in his career that he just can't recover and be the same guy. But I know the Thunder have done a really good job of rehabbing guys' value and bringing them back and having them play really well. And so if I'm the Thunder, I almost take a chance on myself because Porzingis is like one of the original unicorns, right?
Yeah.
Block shots, shoots threes, could create a little bit for himself. You know, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out with Luka, which makes me worry about it working with Shea. But if it's with Shea and another player, and you don't have to, like, Luka's your third or fourth guy, you don't have to worry about it too much. And because of where the Thunder are with cap flexibility and the fact that these younger guys don't need to be paid for a little while, like, it's not going to kill you. It's killing the Mavs right now. It's killing their flexibility. It's keeping them from being able to do what they need to do. For the Thunder, it just wouldn't really matter as much in that way.
Yeah.
And so it makes some sense to take a risk there. But it all depends. Like, if they end up with the seventh pick and you're like, okay, like, a Porzingis move would push you, or you're like the seventh best team in the West at best, you know, if things go really well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, is that where you want to be? Like, absolutely not.
No,
like, that's not what you want.
No, no, but you may, I mean, it depends on what is your read on Porzingis. I mean, I see a guy that took 9 or more threes just 5 times over 43 games. I mean, Muscala probably had more games.
Sure.
With 9 or more threes, or at least the per minute threes for Muscala were much higher, and he was playing with Shea. Yeah. I mean, if you have a guy like Porzingis, you want him to be your, like, to really, really stretch the floor from you. And as we know, I mean, if you give him a guy 4 threes for the entire series, then you don't have the spacing. I mean, mm-hmm. if I had Porzingis on my team, he would take 8 threes per game, like, as an average.
He should.
Not 5.5 or I mean, he should just hoist an insane amount of threes. And to me, there is still value. I mean, you have the concerns because his body will probably hold him to something like 50, something like between 40 and 55 games. Mm-hmm. That is a huge thing because you pay a guy 30 million just to play half a season, basically.
It's a big concern.
It's a huge concern. But if you don't see the money as something like you said, the Mavs are having right now, because they have an issue in terms of cap. Over the next few years, the cap may go up. And so you have a guy that may be a risk as of today, but if you have the money to do it, then it's less of a risk. Yeah. And just... if the asset that you send away is just a future first, or maybe say that you struck luck with the first pick, but you still have the Miami pick and Dallas says, okay, then mm-hmm. let's try. I mean, if it's that and Kenrich, I love Kenrich Williams, or Ty Jerome. I love Ty Jerome as well, because I think that those players will be useful going forward, but mm-hmm. you try and you see if.
Yeah. The thing is, like, at the end of the day, the Kenrich Williams and the Ty Jeromes of the world don't matter as much as getting your third or fourth best player in the league. Like,
Can you imagine this? I mean, if you have a starting unit with, say, you somehow draft Suggs or Green, then you have Shea, Green, Micic, Pokuševski, and Porzingis with Dort coming off the bench. And
you're just a wacky, fun, you're flying all over the place, everybody's shooting, everybody's making plays. I mean, it's
who's killing spacing there? Who is the guy who stops the ball? I mean, nobody.
No, yeah, nobody. There's no record scratch guys on that team.
The guy who basically will pass the least is probably Luke.
But also he's not bad. He's not a record.
No.
He's not record scratch Robertson. You know, he's really
No. And again, probably he and Porzingis will be the guys where if you're open, just shoot it. And the other guys are there to create. That is a team that, I mean, I'm I just want everything to go well, and they have a team that makes sense on the court.
Yeah. The thing with the Thunder, and like we're talking about this, and the reality is it's probably not happening. Like none of this is probably happening. But the Thunder have given themselves the opportunity to be flexible enough with space, to be flexible enough with assets. My assumption is that they aren't going to be looking to absorb a player to add to this team. I think they will be looking to absorb a player's contract in order to accumulate additional assets. If I were to make a educated guess based upon the past, I would say they are going to be just have a message sent out, just a massive group text out to every other team in the league saying, hey, if you guys need to unload anybody, let us know. Like if you need space for something to work, we're the one. We're it.
Yeah.
And that to me is more likely than it is that they're like calling around and be like, okay, we got to upgrade this spot. We're going to upgrade that spot. How are we going to do this? I don't think they're going to do that. I really do think that they are still like the plan is and probably should be slow, methodical building through the draft, through moving up in the draft, through trades that you make. Maybe you acquire a pick that you combine it with another pick and that gets you up to 10, or that gets you to 12 or whatever you want to do. Like the Cole Aldrich trade comes to mind. Obviously that didn't go well, but maybe you do it the second time and you nail that 10th pick or 12th pick or whatever it's going to be. So the Thunder have the flexibility to do a lot. And this conversation just kind of that rings true. And that this is the direction they're heading is very flexible.
Would you accept to take in Eric Bledsoe or Kemba Walker? I struggle a lot with that.
I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to be heavily incentivized to do so.
How heavy? Describe heavy for you. Like two picks? Three picks?
Two like top three protected picks.
Yeah. I don't know about Bledsoe though. Kemba to me is not that bad. You can still think that OKC may pull off not a Chris Paul season, but a season where you play Kemba 60 games because you don't have to play him 82, and he somehow finds great chemistry with Shai. He has an amazing season, and you can still say, well, we got two, and now we got two more. That is, even if you draft Jalen Suggs, maybe you don't get Micic if you want to trade for Kemba, because you can trade Micic or you do something like that. But you can still trade for Kemba and be happy with the results. It's probably a season where you don't tank, because Kemba plus Shai, you are probably going to win 30 plus, 35 plus. But still, with Bledsoe, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Unless you say, well, Eric, we will buy you out. We just pay. We don't stretch you. We just pay. Whatever you can give us, it's fine. And then we'll have you on the books. And then yes. Then mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really interesting. I'm intrigued. I'm just really intrigued to see where all this goes for the Thunder this summer. So, all right, 15 days, guys. I'm working some stuff out. I think we're probably going to have a lottery party. So just be ready for that. I've made some phone calls to a few different local establishments, and it will not be that hard to pull off. So just go ahead and mark your calendars if you're from the surrounding areas or from here. Just be prepared. Just come join us. We'll all enjoy this together. So, all right, we will talk to you guys again Wednesday. Alex and I will be back talking about what's going on in the playoffs, anything new with the Thunder, or if we can just make up something to talk about, we're going to do it. All right. Make sure you follow McKelly on Twitter at Mikey Barry. You can follow me at Andrew K. Schleck. Leave us an Apple Podcast review, 5 stars only, please. We'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.